I'm going to share a secret with you that took me years to unearth. It's the secret sauce of Jesus. It's kind of like there's a secret formula for Coke. There it was rumored that there are only two people alive that know the exact recipe for Coca-Cola. And it's actually a small group of people, and there may be three in that group. But the rule is all of those people cannot be in the same airplane at the same time. You can't imagine how horrible this world would be if nobody knew the formula for Coke, right? So, you know, they do that. Only certain people know that. Well, there's also something similar with Kentucky Fried Chicken. There are similarly a small group of people, 2 to 3, maybe 4 people, who know what the 11 herbs and spices are. And they confuse the people that they buy spices from because they don't buy it all from the same source and they buy it from multiple people. So nobody can figure out what those 11 herbs and spices are. It's the secret sauce. It's a secret. And so that's what we're taking a look at this morning. The secret sauce of Jesus. And here's what it was. For years, I noticed that Jesus was magnetic. Jesus was fully God, fully man, and yet sinners were attracted to him. That didn't make sense. Because as I look around at church leaders, and I look at them, I didn't see that same thing, that sinners were attracted to those people. In fact, studies have shown that the longer you're a follower of Jesus, the more likely it is that all your friends will be followers of Jesus as well, and that you don't have a lot of friends who are far from Jesus. Jesus was the opposite of that. In fact, they called Jesus names. They called him a friend of sinners. And to them, that was an insult, but Jesus took it as a compliment. So what was it about Jesus? That question bugged me for years. And then one day, I saw it. It was as plain as the nose on my face, and I missed it for years. And today, I'm going to share that with you. As we go through this process this morning, this is a relationship hack. This will improve your relationships in your marriages, in your families, in ministries, in the workplace. It changes everything. And it's all here in John 1:14. Let's look at that. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So this is God's plan to change the world. How did he do that? He said the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And what was God's plan? Number one, God's plan was to live with his people. That was God's plan. And it's interesting, John uses the word here, the word that is translated, made his dwelling among us. It's actually the word tabernacle. And he tabernacled among us. And that's such a cool word in this context, because what is he saying? What was the tabernacle? The tabernacle was the place where the Jews went to worship. It was, they would transport it and set it up wherever they were, but it was a place where two worlds came together. How could sinful people and God Almighty meet together? They're two different worlds, more different than oil and water. How could those two meet? Well, there had to be sacrifices. And there had to be all of this stuff that happened so God could meet with his people. That happened at the tabernacle. Two worlds coming together in the tabernacle. And so that's what Jesus was. Jesus was two worlds coming together. Fully God, fully man coming together. And so he tabernacled with them. And John was using that language to make that point, but he was pointing to something else as we go on. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. And so the second part of God's plan is to reveal the glory of Jesus. And the glory is an interesting word. What is glory? What does that mean? Well, to understand the meaning of that word, let's go back to Moses. Moses was on Mount Sinai meeting with God. And when he was on Mount Sinai, notice what it says, Exodus 33, verse 18. Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." They had been meeting together for a long time, and Moses was like, "I want to see your glory." Listen to what God said. And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence, and I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." We are so different. Man is so different from God. We couldn't see him and live. So here's what God did. God hid Moses in a crack of the rock, and then God passed by, and the exact terminology in the Hebrew isn't clear, but basically, either Moses saw God's back, or Moses saw where God had been, and what he saw so impacted him that his face glowed, like shone, like it was fluorescent, just glowed. And when he went down to the people, they were like, and so Moses had to put a veil over his face to keep the Jews from freaking out. He was like, "Ah." And so that glory, the glory of God, the shining of God, the glow and the brightness, the radiance of God was his glory, and that shone on Moses' face, and he was changed by that. Later, when they constructed the tabernacle and they offered sacrifices for the first time in the tabernacle, there's this story, and I think this is what John is pointing to here in John 1. Notice what it says, Leviticus 9:23. Then Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle, and when they came out, they blessed the people again, and the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole community. There was, everybody that was there was like, "Whoa, there's the glory." They saw the glory of the Lord. The brightness of the Lord was there. Jesus was fully God and fully man. His glory was like when his fully God part shined out from his fully man part. And John noticed that about Jesus. And he kept seeing the fully God part shining through the rest of him. "We've seen his glory," John said. "We saw that shining through." It's like when you put a cloth over a light bulb and the light still shines out. That's what John says it was like hanging around with Jesus. We saw his glory. He was fully man, but it didn't cover up his glory. The glory was still seen. And then it goes on in this passage, "who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Demonstrate radical love. God said, "I'm going to live with his people, I'm going to reveal the glory of Jesus, and I'm going to demonstrate radical love." The order and the balance of those two words, grace and truth, are critical. It's grace, 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 and then truth. This is the secret sauce of Jesus. Grace. Grace means to accept people. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't say to people, back up, I'm God, and you aren't good enough to come into my presence. Jesus never said that. Jesus accepted people. There was a man with leprosy. Remember that? And he said, Lord, heal me. And Jesus did what was, according to the law, you're not supposed to do. He touched the man. And it wasn't one of these. Jesus went and he touched him and he healed him. That's grace. Jesus accepted people. He accepted them warts and all. He didn't say, clean yourself up before you come to me. He accepted them. There was a young boy that was flying pretty much cross country to be with his father. And he was kind of nervous, and the flight attendants just doted on him. They were like, what can we get for you? And he was like, oh, they have an endless supply of Oreo cookies and milk. And so, you know, he would smile at them and ask for more Oreos, and they'd bring more Oreos, and they'd bring more milk, and they just doted on him. And this little kid just loved the power that he had, and he kept getting all these Oreos and all this milk. And then something happened. And what that something was is called turbulence. I don't know if you've ever experienced turbulence, but it got a little bouncy for a while. And the turbulence accomplished its work, and the turbulence persuaded this young man to give back all the Oreos and all the milk in a very unceremonious manner, all over himself. And he was just covered with puke. And they, you know, the flight attendants helped him and they tried to clean him up. But that's how he arrived at the airport to see his father. So here's this young son and here's this dad. What do you think the dad did with that young son? He came running up to him and his dad grabbed him and hugged him and held him close. That's grace. He didn't say, get out of here, puke face. Jesus embraced people. That's grace. That's grace. That's what Jesus did. That's what he did, grace. Then it's the nitro and the glycerin. It's both of these working together. It was truth. Speak the truth to people. This is uncomfortable, especially in our culture. Our tendency is to ignore issues, gloss over them. Not Jesus. He accepted the people, but he spoke the truth directly. Woman at the well, he showed her grace, and then he said, what? Call your husband. There was a lame man at the pool of Bethesda. He healed him. And then what did he say? Stop sinning. A woman caught in the act of adultery. What did he say to her? He showed her grace. He didn't have her stone. He said, go and sin no more. He spoke truth. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. That's grace. And then he spoke to all of them and said, all of you are going to abandon me. He spoke truth to them. Thomas was one of the 12 that wasn't there when Jesus appeared to them, and he said, I'm not going to believe him. And so Jesus didn't say, Thomas, you're out. You didn't believe what they said. He appeared, and he said, Thomas, here I am. Here I am. He said, stop doubting and believe. Grace, 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 and then speaks truth to them. That is the secret sauce of Jesus. Grace, 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 and then truth. So how do we apply that? Why do we exist as a church? Why do we exist as a church? We exist to renovate our community with the love of Jesus. Say that with me. Renovate our community with the love of Jesus. And so we exist to change our community. This is what we need to do. It said the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We need to connect with people. We need to connect with people. Jesus did that. Jesus would often be in a crowd. There'd be a crowd around, and Jesus would kind of leave the crowd or ignore the crowd and speak to one person. There was a time he was going down the road, and there were people jostling all around him. It was a large crowd, and he stopped and he goes, who touched me? And his disciples were like, duh, like everybody's bumping into you. What do you mean? And Jesus stopped and spoke to one person. Jesus told the story about his Father in heaven's heart. And he said, my Father's heart is like this. I'm going to leave the 99 and I'm going to go find the one. I love that. Why? Because I was that one. I was the one. He focuses on one people, one person. How do we do that? Practically, day to day. Ask simple, open-ended questions. And don't walk away. How are you doing? Really? And listen. That had to be difficult. What was it like? And listen, and it's amazing when you stop and listen to people how much they just pour out their heart. And if we take time to ask good questions and to listen to people, they'll share their hearts. But here's the problem when we do that. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. People share stuff with you, and you're like, I don't know what to do. What do we do with that? How do I don't know what to say. You ever been there? I remember one time, first church I was a senior pastor at, I preached a message on forgiveness and how we need to forgive those who hurt us. And a lady came up for prayer afterwards, and she said, I have trouble forgiving the two men that murdered my daughter, my only daughter. And it was like 10, 11 years before that. And I was like, what can I say? What can I do? No, I got nothing. And that's the concern. If we really listen to people, they're going to share problems. You know, it feels like the problems are bigger than they are, than we are, and we're in over our heads. You know why it feels like we're in over our heads? It's because we're in over our heads. But that's not a problem. What's the next thing? What's the next thing we do? We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. We point to the glory of Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And that lady that came up for prayer, what did we do? We said, Jesus, you have to help her forgive. Because Jesus can do that. I can't do that. And you point them to Jesus. Remember Tad Lincoln from last Sunday. What did he do? He took that soldier all the way into his father, the president. That's what we do. We just say, oh, this is bigger than me. Let me take you right to Jesus. He's the one that can do it. And we point to the glory of Jesus. And then, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, live out radical love. We show grace. We show grace. And we accept each person. Embrace the puke. Maybe that should be the fill in the blank. You know what I mean when I say embrace the puke in other people. When you change and you know, then I'll care about you. No, you just love people where they are. That's what Jesus did. People gravitated to Jesus because they knew they were accepted. And then truth. Speak the awkward truth to people. Speak the awkward truth. It's awkward. It's hard. It's not fun to do that. So you may be saying, what does that look like to do that? And here's a video that shows you how to do that. This is Charlie Kirk. Back that up. Turn the audio on.
I just want to say I'm a transgender male. What at age should kids be able to get things like hormone therapy? Because I don't know what's true, what's not.
Tell me, are you comfortable telling me your story?
I've known that since like third grade, and I'm currently 19, almost 20. I've known basically since then. I didn't start going by like a different name until 7th and 8th grade. I just don't know, like, with the whole medical stuff, like what's true, what's not, what's helpful, because I've heard so many different opinions.
First of all, thank you so much for that.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm going to have an opinion that very few people will ever tell you, which is I want you to be very cautious putting drugs into your system in the pursuit of changing your body.
Mm-hmm.
I instead encourage you to work on what's going on in your brain first. I think what you need first and foremost is just a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Just someone that is going to listen to what you've gone through, listen to what else is going on. My prayer for you, and again, very few people will say this, I actually want to see you be comfortable in how you were born.
Yeah.
I know that you might not feel that way, but I think that is something that you can achieve. I think that with the right team and the right people, you don't have to wage war on your body, you can learn to love your body.
Isn't that beautiful? Grace, I don't know if you're comfortable telling me your story. It's grace. I'm going to tell you something you might not be comfortable with. Truth. Grace, truth. Grace and truth. He did that so beautifully. So, Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to put yourself in that place and say difficult things to people? On October 17th, 1989, at 5:04 p.m., the Loma Prieta earthquake happened near San Francisco. There's an image of the bridge that was damaged during that. And there was a guy driving on that bridge in the evening, and he noticed that all of a sudden, the taillights in the car in front of him disappeared. And he slowed down and he stopped. And other cars kept going past him, and he's like, I've got to do something. And so he got out and he saw a bus coming, and he started waving at the bus, and he said, they're going to have to hit me. And so he stood in front of the bus and they came to a stop. And he saved the people on that bus from going off that bridge. Now, what if he had said, hey, I'm not a cop. I don't really have authority to stop traffic. I shouldn't tell other people how to drive. It's none of my business. You be you, I'll be me. What if he had said that? Would that have been love? No, that would have been anything but love. And so, because of love, we do the awkward thing and we say to somebody, well, that's, I love you, I care about you enough to tell you the truth that that's going to be harmful to you. I had a dream, a vision one night. There was a man I worked with. His name was Fred. And I'd worked with him almost 2 years. And never in that time did I ever share my faith with him. And like I didn't work side by side with him. He was in the next department. But I knew him fairly well. And I had this dream. And it was the day of judgment. And he was there. He was being judged. And he turned. And he looked right at me. Like, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you say something? I was like, man. What do I do? And that just crushed me. And I told the Lord, Lord, can I have a second chance? And I tried to figure it out. It's 15 to 20 years after I worked with him. I told the Lord, you give me a second chance, I'll take it. And I had a meeting at a church, and the church had a daycare, and the daycare had milk delivered. Guess who delivered the milk? Fred. Got a chance to talk to him, just briefly. But I talked to him about the Lord. I don't remember exactly what I said. Like, I got to do it. I just, what's the chance of this happening? This is an answer to prayer. That's why do we do that? Because of love, we have a responsibility for other people. Grace and truth. Embrace the puke and speak the truth. What's the bottom line? Here's the bottom line. Live with discomfort to serve others. Live with discomfort. What I'm telling you this morning is not happy, happy, smiley, smiley. It's going to be awkward. Guess what? You're going to make mistakes. And there's going to be some times that you're going to be like, oh, man. I wish I would have done it that way. It's okay. Now, you remember when we began this series, I gave you a bolo. There are a number of things that we need to be on the lookout for. And one of them was life change. Do you see how John, in this passage, talked about life change? This is how lives are changed. Grace and truth. With people, point to Jesus, grace and truth. And that's how lives are changed. Would you stand with me? Let's pray together. Again, because we don't have the answers, God does. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to be like Jesus. Help us to be like him. Help us to embrace the puke in others. Give us the courage to speak truth to people. teach us. Lord, we want to make a difference, and it's awkward. And in the awkwardness of the moment, give us the words to say. And Father, thank you for what you're going to do in us and especially through us as you use us to change this community with the love of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.